Let us pray. Holy God, open your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes may be enlightened and we may know the hope to which we have been called. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The gospel reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. It's on page 1818 in your pew Bibles. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God of mystery, you are greater than we could ever possibly conceive and give more than we could ever possibly comprehend. Help the words of my mouth to articulate that incredible gift today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, I got a little prop today. Here we go. Let's see how this works. So, Anne and I swear by these sound machines for our kitties. In fact, we should have bought stock in one of these sound machines because every time we buy new ones, we buy like five of them. And we love them because we put them on for the kids and they sleep, and we started putting them on for us. So we always have a little bit of white noise going on. And y'all will know that these things are a lot of fun. You start with the classic white noise, and you got some rain, you got some summer night. But does anyone know what this one is? The ocean. I love that setting. Not only because I grew up near the ocean, because I'm from Virginia and right on the water, it was one of the things that when I grew up near the water, I realized the power of the ocean. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I was in North Carolina, and I was out in the waves. And we were all having fun, except this one big wave came and one of those riptides just grabbed me. And I remember this so clearly because I was just flipping under the water. I didn't know which way was up, which way was down. I thought it was all over with. I was like bumping my elbows. I didn't know which way was out of the water. And I was being twirled by this great, incredible, powerful ocean. And thankfully, I had an adult who saw me twirling under the water and grabbed me by the arm and yanked me out of there, my skinny little 10-year-old self, and said, boy, you need to be on the beach for a little while longer. Watch out for the ocean. One of the things I always realized about the ocean is that it's a really good place to start a conversation about God. The great, mysterious, powerful ocean. And that day, I remember feeling the incredible power of that ocean exerted upon me. So here's some quick trivia for you all about the ocean. Did you know that 72% of our planet is covered in water? The majority of that 72% of our oceans, sunlight does not reach that part of the ocean. One of the scientists I was reading about this week was talking about how, why do we call the planet Earth? There's much more water on the planet than there is Earth, right? And the part that's under the water, that deep water that sunlight does not reach, scientists call the deep sea. And it's the part of our planet that remains largely unexplored. Up until recently, scientists believed that down below that line where the sunlight doesn't reach, there was nothing down there but emptiness, just vast emptiness, dark emptiness. Well, after they started exploring it, they started to realize, actually, no, there is life down there, and really strange alien life. That looks like something that was made out of a monster movie. But life that we had never experienced, life that we never thought was there, and yet so much of it is unexplored. So for a minute, we're going to listen to a clip from Mr. Robert Ballard, who is an ocean explorer, and he's going to talk to us about how much or how little we have actually mapped of the ocean floor. Go for it, Roger.
I have a characterization. This is a characterization of what it would look like if you could remove the water. It gives you the false impression it's a map. It is not a map. In fact, I commonly ask people, I have another version at my office, and I ask people, why are there mountains here on this area here, but there are none over here? And they go, well, gee, you know, they try to be, you know, say, is it a fracture zone? Is it a hot spot? No, that's the only place a ship's been. Most of the southern hemisphere is unexplored. We had more exploration ships down there during Captain Cook's time than now. It's amazing. All right, so we're going to immerse ourselves in the 72% of the planet because, you know, it's really naive to think that the Easter Bunny put all the resources on the continents. You know? It's just ludicrous. We are always constantly playing the zero-sum game. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to take it away from something else. I believe in just enriching the economy. And we're leaving so much on the table, 72% of the planet, and as I will point out later in the presentation, 50% of the United States of America lies beneath the sea. 50% of our country that we own, have all legal jurisdiction, have all rights to do whatever we want, lies beneath the sea, and we have better maps of Mars than that 50%. Why?
It amazes me that on this planet, after all the exploration, our technology advances, there still exist parts that are completely unknown to us. The ocean we have been sailing on for thousands of years still has more to reveal to us, still more for us to discover. So I give you this brief oceanic lesson, a little foothold into, this gives us a little glimpse, a little foothold into what Ephesians calls the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Like the ocean, God's overwhelming grace, as familiar as you might think you are with it, continues to offer us new and unimaginable possibilities. One commentator put it this way: there's always more of God than we knew or could imagine. There are depths yet unexplored in God's love and power. There are amazing displays of grace that we have not even yet to begin to understand, much like the ocean floor. Later in the video, Mr. Ballard says that only 3% of the ocean has been explored, leaving 97% still unknown, still undiscovered. What if this was true for our faith in God? Think about it. What if we have only just begun to know the length, the width, the height, the depth of God's love and grace for us? What if you realized that every day there was more of God to know? How would that affect your faith? How would you live it if you knew there was always more to discover, always more to unearth? Now, this is good news for us, because the God we worship, despite our best efforts, has not been and will never be fully tapped. There will be always more to learn, always more to discover about the God that we love in Scripture and in our experiences. So a couple months ago, when Ann's mom was on a trip to Detroit, she picked up a little brochure for Legoland for Henry. Now, little did she know that this was going to be his Bible for the next several weeks. In fact, he's ripped it apart in four parts and will regularly give me a part to take home. Gray, I want you to study this part of the Legoland so that when you come back, we can have a conversation about it. Okay, great. All right. So he's now become obsessed with Legos. So Ann's mom, hearing this obsession, went ahead and went into her garage and unearthed all the Legos that her children had as kids. Giant tub. I mean, a tub just filled to the brim of Legos. And she said, okay, well, I want to get these sets together so Henry can play with these sets and put them together and all this. So she starts to separate them by color in different bins, all right? You go, oh, great, that's going to be easy. So one day I was over there. We had just got back from Minnesota, and Henry goes, Daddy, I want to build this airplane. And I go, great, let's do it. And I thought, 30 minutes max. 30 minutes max we'll get this thing done. 2 hours later, after searching through bins for just the one piece that I needed, you know, oh gosh, where is this one white piece that I need? Where's this red piece? Just going through this bin, trying to find it. And you ever found one of those one single, skinny little single Lego? Those are impossible to find. After 2 hours, I finally assembled this airplane. And I thought of the torture if I had to put together all the rest of these sets. And then I realized something about this, because I had already written this sermon. I thought, this is kind of like what faith is like, isn't it? God's grace, God's love is this endless cavern that we have to explore all the time. We're always looking through it, and we're always trying to find the thing that we need to get us through the day. What do we need today, Lord? Can I find it? How long do I have to search for it? Am I going to find it? Am I going to be able to piece something together that's going to get me through this tough thing? Am I going to be able to do it? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, while I was in the midst of that 2 hours of putting together this really dumb airplane, I wanted to take some cheats. Let me tell you. I would find the exact same piece I needed, but in a different color. I thought, oh, you know, that'll fit. Why don't we just put that in? Henry's not going to notice. Who's going to know? Let's just put that piece on. Who cares? And I thought, oh, we do that too, don't we? We We search for God's love and grace. We search and we search. And sometimes it doesn't seem obvious what we need. So we find other things that we think will fill that spot just as well as God's grace would. And we think, oh, that piece fits. Who's going to care? It's not going to affect anything. We're going to be fine. And we start putting our life together built on the wrong pieces. And every one of you know what those wrong pieces are in your life. You have all grasped at some time or another for those wrong pieces and tried to make them fit. Tried to make them fit into your life of faith, and they failed you. I think about the pieces of trying to fit these things into our faith life, this rigidness, these prejudices, these old baggage, this frustration you can't let go, the desire for revenge, the certainty that you're right, the certainty that you're done learning. And you put those pieces together until you have this ugly collection of mismatched pieces, nothing resembling what God intended your life to look like. It's supposed to look like the picture. It's supposed to look like that airplane, Daddy. You gotta make it like that. What's our picture? What is the thing it's supposed to look like for our lives? What is that picture? Paul tells us in Ephesians, the one place we can look to be sure of God's power, of our model for faith, is the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the single most important part of our faith, of God's revelation to us. And it is a power that surpasses all the world has to offer, and through it we are shown what faith truly looks like. God is more powerful than death. And God has appointed Christ, the resurrected Christ, to the head of all creation. And through that, Christ fills the church with the power of God. And it is that same power that raised Christ from the dead that now is bestowed upon us. So give up the idea, the thought, that you have a handle on God. Like the ocean, you will never comprehend God's unending vastness of grace and love. But in a world where resources are scarce, in a world where there is truly not infinity gold, infinity gold, I am thankful for a resource that is unending. And that is God's grace and God's love. So this week, go searching for that love in the depths and the mystery of God. Don't cheat. Don't try to grab pieces that you think will fill it just fine because you're sick of looking. Because God is providing what you need. It may not be on your time, on your terms, but it's coming. So stick with the instructions. Stick with the plan. That is what God has intended for our lives, so that we all may be bestowed with God's power to bring new life in our lives. In the name of the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.